Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this edition of News in Focus is your host, Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Well, we're waiting for the election numbers to come in from today's election. So the Secretary of State site will have the returns on a very close U.S. Senate race primary here in the state of Ohio. Of course, as expected, Donald Trump will win Ohio again in the primary and then just build on his delegate lead going into the convention. But it's pretty much settled that it's going to be Donald Trump and Joe Biden for the presidential race this year. Whoever wins this primary between Frank LaRose, Bernie Moreno, and Matt Dolan will face off against Sherrod Brown. And there is belief that Sherrod Brown is vulnerable and can be beaten and that it's a pickup for the Republicans. There's also a couple of congressional races to watch. The 9th Congressional, that is a primary race between Derek Marin and a couple of others, and we'll see what happens there. Derek Marin, of course, lost his bid to become Speaker of the House last year in that coup that the current Speaker only secured 22 Republicans, called the Blue 22, and the rest of them were Democratic votes to become the new Speaker. So they call him the Blue Speaker, and the Blue 22 are also on the ballot, and so there's going to be a lot of challenges there. The 13th Congressional and Summit in Stark Counties, that's a primary with Chris Banwig and Kevin Coughlin, and of course we're waiting to see what the returns are on that as well. But we're glad that you've joined with us tonight. You can watch the election returns live at the Ohio Christian Alliance website. That's ohioca.org. We have linked to the Secretary of State's live election returns, and when those go live around 7:30, 8 p.m. tonight, you'll be able to, about the close of this program, you'll be able to start seeing the early returns. But I suspect that we're not going to know who won this until we get to around 9:30, 10 o'clock tonight. Well, without any further ado, I want to introduce my guest. And he is a pro-life leader in the state of Ohio and also nationally. His name is Mark Harrington of Created Equal. Mark's no stranger to this program. He was on several times with us last year as we fought the courageous battle to try to defeat Issue 1 in November, which is a radical abortion ballot measure that unfortunately we were unable to defeat. It passed quite convincingly, unfortunately, and now abortion on demand is legal in the state of Ohio through the 9th month of pregnancy. And we have the worst abortion laws in the country, but that doesn't stop the pro-life community. We're going to continue to fight for life. We're going to continue to advocate for the unborn. If you thought we were going away, well, you thought wrong. And so we're going to talk about a day of action in Cleveland, as Cleveland has one of the big abortion mills. And we just finished up with Bringing America Back to Life convention, in which Mark was one of the presenters at that convention. By the way, they had a good turnout. People were engaged and great speakers. And there's no way we're giving up the fight. Roe v. Wade has been overturned. Many states have actually moved to ban abortion. Other states of Ohio have fallen to the fate of the radical left in our constitutional amendment process and caught us flat-footed, and they passed that. Many people voted for that, didn't know what they were voting for. I'm convinced of that. So education is the key, and going forward, that's what this day of action in Cleveland is all about. We're talking April 11th. And here to talk to us about what the day of action will pertain to is Mark Harrington, the president of Create Equal. Mark, welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
Well, Mark, tell us about the day of action. I should say days of action, because it won't just be Cleveland, but several other cities. How many cities are you heading out to on the days of action?
There'll be four cities, Chris. Historically, we've done one of these each summer in Columbus. But this year we figured we needed to go out into the highways and the byways and to conduct these events in the city, major cities in Ohio. So we're hitting all the regions, the Northeast, Northwest, Southwest, and Central, Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Toledo. And the day of action is simply this. It's classroom training the night before on pro-life apologetics. We call it Let's Talk Abortion. That's the title. And then there'll be a 30-minute presentation on how to properly sidewalk counsel. What I mean by sidewalk counseling is standing on the sidewalk in front of an abortion center and trying to persuade moms and dads not to kill their children. And so we're going into these areas, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Columbus, and Toledo, and we're having these events. So we present the night before. People come to that, and then the day after, the next morning, we head out onto the streets, and we'll take some of them to the abortion center, and we'll take some to a college campus nearby.
Well, that is the way that we conduct education. I have seen Create Equal at work at the universities with college kids, engaging with them. And I've seen you actually turn their decision to life, where they really don't understand the position that they hold until they're confronted with truth and with the victimization posters that show the result and the end of an abortion, which is the mutilation of a baby child in the womb. And first of all, they're horrified by seeing that. Then they try to rationalize it away on your videos, and then you see them basically being converted to the life position and saying, well, you know, I'm not for that. I am for life. And it's amazing to watch the transformation literally on video when your team is engaging with a thoughtful and dynamic engagement with young people. Tell us about that, Mark.
Yes, well, we believe that young people, for that matter, anyone, learns best on the job. Obviously, we need classroom training. We need to learn the facts about life and about abortion and the tactics. How do you best present the pro-life message to those who disagree? But the best way to learn is actually do it. And so we give them a little bit of training, not a lot. We're not looking for intellectuals here. And put them in front of, and then take them out and put them in front of people they disagree with. And that's how we learn, because we're confronted with real-time interactions with folks, and we're gonna hear arguments that we haven't heard before. And that's why the debrief afterwards is also very important, because that allows time for us all to gather together and kind of compare notes, bring up some of the hard questions that might have been brought to our attention. So we believe that we train at best by teaching and taking them out on the streets. People learn, in my opinion, best when they are on the ground, kind of on the ground or on the job training. And so that's what makes the day of action different than a lot of the other pro-life apologetic training type events. We can fill people's heads with a bunch of information, but that doesn't do a heck of a lot of good, to be honest, unless we use it. And the way we use it best is talk to people that don't agree with us. And so that's why the Day of Action, I think, is unique in the way that it teaches and trains our young people and others on how to best present the pro-life message.
The website is createdequal.org. That's createdequal.org. And if you go to the main website, you'll see the link for the Day of Action and the sign up. So walk us through how people can be involved in the Cleveland outreach, the Day of Action, by signing up through the website. Walk us through that.
Right. So you're right. CreatedEqual.org/action, or just CreatedEqual.org, you'll see it. And the classroom training is April 11th. It's 6:30 p.m. And that's being held at St. Basil the Great Catholic Church in Brecksville. So that'll be the classroom training. Then the outreach is the next morning, April 12th, from 9 to 2:30. and that will be either at the preterm abortion center in Cleveland, or we're taking a group to Cleveland State University. And people can choose which outreach they're interested in being part of. But if they go to our website, they can sign up. It doesn't cost them anything. And, you know, they have all the information they need just to show up, and we'll give them all the information they need and then take them out onto the streets the next day.
Well, this is really an effective way for us to begin to fight back and to win the young people. The exit polls showed very clearly that Generation Z, 18 to 29-year-olds, overwhelmingly voted yes on issue one, the so-called abortion rights amendment, and putting it in our state constitution. By 77%, that age group made up 12% of those who voted last year and voted 77% for it. Only 23% of them voted no. The next age category, 30 to 44-year-olds, that was 23% of the turnout last year on November 7th. 68% voted yes, 32% voted no. As you get older, the numbers favor us. That is indicative in telling that the pro-life community has been working with a older generation. Now, they once were the young kids, okay, going back 40 years ago. They were the younger people. Now, they've become older, and they voted with us on issues one and two. But we have lost this younger generation, and it's time that we get them back. And this day of action with Create Equal in Cleveland on April 11th and 12th is something you should be involved in. And again, a couple of ways to reach them through the website, createdequal.org. Is there a phone number also that folks can call, Mark?
Yes, sir. Phone number is 614-269-7808. Again, 614-269-7808. And Chris, you know, those numbers you just mentioned are devastating. If we don't turn those numbers around, if we don't reach the next generation of leaders, we are destined to have abortion on demand for my lifetime and even beyond. And so we have to reach the next generation now if we have a shot down the road of actually bringing legal protection to the unborn. The demographics are not on our side right now, so we got to get busy, and that's why we are encouraging people to come out with us for the day of action.
Well, that's right. We're talking with Mark Carrington. He's the president of Created Equal, a pro-life advocacy organization that takes the message to the streets. They were doing this long before issue one came along, folks. They've been out doing this and educating the younger generation on colleges and universities, in front of abortion clinics, and on in the public square. And they've been engaging with people and educating people and taking the victimization posters, which are quite graphic, and video, and convincing a young generation this is exactly what choice means. Is, are you for this? And then people see that and they said, no, I'm not for that. Because they're never confronted with the bloodlust of what abortion is until they see the victimization posters. Now, Mark, you've been doing this for many years. And through most of those years, the mainstream pro-life community eschewed you. Let's talk about that. They kept you at bay. They said, oh, that's too graphic. We had even pastors in some of the, pregnancy centers that say, oh, we can't have that around here. We don't want to scare people away. Your method has now been embraced by some of those same people who a few years ago are saying that's too graphic. It will turn people off. It will turn them away. We'll never win them over. Now they realize whatever they were doing wasn't working. So they with open arms, they have now thrown open the doors and said, hey, Create Equal, you're the only one reaching young people. Please teach us, educate us how to do it, because we need help. Your thoughts.
Well, as I told the people gathered at the Bring America Back to Life conference, is that our movement is aging. I think it's evident. And if we don't raise up the next generation of leaders, we have no chance of reversing this curse. And so it's good to see that there's been a change of mind and heart on the use of abortion victim photos and video. More people are in support of doing that. I want to see an equal amount of effort being put into those taking them to the streets, though, Chris, because that's where the rubber meets the road. It's one thing to give mental assent to the fact that these are effective, but it's a whole an entirely different thing altogether to say this tactic works. I know it does, and I'm going to start doing it too. That's a bigger step, because then you're taking personal stake in it, and you are setting yourself up, as you can imagine, for opposition and persecution that comes with showing these pictures in public. So I think the jury's still out. I'm hopeful that others are coming alongside, and we're seeing that more and more. But we really need to get busy here, because time is not on our side.
That's right. And you've actually been helping some other states that are facing ballot issues this year in the presidential election year. How many states will have an abortion ballot measure on the ballot in November at the same time they're voting for president? Do we know that number yet?
No, we won't know that probably until late spring, early summer. Just like in Ohio, it took a while before the pro-abortion people got enough signatures to get it approved. But it looks as though there could be as many as 11 or 12, which I tend to doubt it's going to be that many. I think we're going to look at about 6 to 8 of them, and I can name those. But you're looking at South Dakota, Montana, Arkansas, Arizona, Colorado, those states more than likely. The pro-abortion people are already gathering signatures in those states. In some of them, the language has been approved. So it's just a matter of time till many of them get them on the ballot. We'll know better when it comes later this year. But we're ready to go. Create Equals helping them with their door-to-door effort, their grassroots. We're helping them with some of the messaging that worked in Ohio, and then trying to encourage them to follow the footsteps of the things that worked here and don't do the things that didn't work here. So the Lord has been good to us to get us in a position where we can share some of the takeaways that we had here in issue one.
Well, that's right. What about Florida? I thought I saw that Florida, that they were trying to get one in Florida. What's the status
yeah,
there?
Yeah, so, right. So the status in Florida is the Supreme Court of Florida is reviewing the ballot language currently, and there should be a decision by April 1st. So we will know by April 1st if it's going forward or not in Florida. And keep in mind, Chris, for your listeners, 60% plus one vote is the threshold in Florida, unlike Ohio. So we feel pretty good about Florida, but just like any one of these states, you never know. Pro-abortion people have unlimited funding. Obviously, they can put a lot of money in areas like Orlando, Miami, and others. It's very hard to fight them once they get in the main part of the campaign. So be praying for Florida, but I think we'll find out April 1st.
Well, we tried to do that in Ohio last August with a 60% threshold. We had a couple problems with that, where it was 88 counties. And so if it was maybe 60-60, like increasing the county amount to 60%, that may have passed. But they defeated us in August, and they defeated us by being successful in November. Now we can't shut the door on ourselves with 60% until we secure our pro-life protections again. So that's not going to be the battle here in Ohio. It's going to be a longer haul here, and it starts with education, folks, and that's why the day of action. And it's individual decisions. These are women that will be making decisions that day whether to abort their child or not. And so that's, again, April 11th and 12th is the training, April 11th. The outreach and debrief is April 12th, and that's in Cleveland. And give us the other cities that you're going to be going to, Mark.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to be in Toledo, Cincinnati, and Columbus, as well as Cleveland. And so if they can't make it to the Cleveland event, they can come to the Toledo event. That's April 18 and 19, Cincinnati, April 14, 15. And Columbus is March 28, 29, which is actually Thursday and Friday next week.
So you can actually go to the Create Equal website, and you can see some of the videos there as well. In fact, Mark has some of his material there, Why Ohio Fell, what happened last year, and his analysis on that, and other videos as well as testimonials of those who have actually made their decision to change their position on abortion after being reasoned with the Created Equal team. You'll see a lot of young people there, and that's why Created Equal is leading the way with young people reaching their Generation Z. And so this is why this is so important, folks. And we encourage you to visit the Create Equal website, support their work, and if you're able to, send a young person or yourself to the Day of Action in Cleveland. So talk to us about all comers for the Day of Action in Cleveland. It's not just for the young high school or college age folks, but it's all comers. Tell us about that.
No, exactly. Anyone can come. In fact, everyone, despite their age, should come. We're not excluding anyone. We're obviously focused on raising up young pro-life apologists. But even if they just, and I don't generally say this, but even if they come for the training alone and they're unable to make it to the outreach, the information that will be presented to you will be helpful regardless of whether you go to the outreach or not. If you're talking to a friend or a colleague or family member, the information we give you is going to be very helpful. So young or old or in between, come to the Day of Action, April 11 and 12 in Cleveland.
And the website, again, is createdequal.org. That's createdequal.org. You can also follow them on Instagram and on social media. Mark, give us that phone number again for people to call if they're interested in the Day of Action in Cleveland.
All right, so you can go to createequal.org and sign up for free. There's no charge for the training or the outreach, or you can call 614-269-7808. That's 614-269-7808.
Well, my friend, thank you for coming on the program today. Thank you for all that you're doing in continuing to defend the unborn with Created Equal and leading the way for young people to be engaged, because that's where we're going to either win or lose this war, is with the next generation for life. We're going to either win or lose this battle for life with the young generation. And folks, I ask you to covet and prayer for Mark and the whole team of Created Equal. They're doing fantastic work. Visit their website. Also, make a contribution, a generous contribution for their work as well. Mark, thanks for being my guest today.
Always good to be with you, Chris.
Thank you, my friend. God bless. Well, on the other side, we're going to continue our discussion with young people and outreach, because we're going to be talking to a young man by the name of Aiden Haggard, and he leads the American Conservative Youth Union. And he is doing a tremendous work in reaching young people. He's currently in high school. He's about to graduate, but he has his own office on Medina Square, and he's doing quite a bit. We're going to hear from him what the American Conservative Youth Union is. And, folks, the difference is going to be what we're doing with these young people going forward. Young leaders are the ones who are going to lead the way, or we're not going to be able to take the message forward. So stay tuned. On the other side, we'll be talking with Aiden Haggard of the American Conservative Youth Union. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This is Chris Long, host of News in Focus, announcing my new book, For Their Honor, How the D-Day Prayer Was Added to the World War II Memorial. This book tells the 11-year story of how one of the largest mass prayers in history was added to the World War II Memorial. The D-Day prayer was one of FDR's fireside chats, but it stands alone as an incredible moment in American history. The date was June 6, 1944. Operation Overlord, the D-Day invasion of Western France, was already underway by the Allied nations. News reports throughout the day were released from General Eisenhower's headquarters with short statements but with few details on what was happening with the landings and on the beaches of France. The American public anxiously awaited throughout the day to hear from President Roosevelt for more details on the historic invasion. What they heard that evening was a president inviting them to join him in prayer. This book will inspire and encourage your faith. You can order yours today at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, and we're back, and we're going to talk to another leader of young people, and that's Aidan Haggard with the American Conservative Youth Union. And he actually has an office of the group on the square in Medina County. We're going to talk about how that came about because he's getting some support in his effort to lead and reach young people with a conservative message. And, of course, that's so important after what we just talked about here on the program with Mark Harrington of Created Equal and how young people voted last election and how we're going to be able to turn the tide on a more conservative agenda with young people and, quite honestly, a moral agenda going forward in the years and the decade to come. Aidan, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate you having me.
Well, Aidan, you're actually working the polls today, and you're taking a little time out. We're glad that you're doing it on your break to share with us on News in Focus here. So let me just ask you, what's the turnout at your precinct? Is it okay? What's the turnout of voters today?
It's a little bit lower than I would anticipate it with this primary. I believe the last time we checked, we were a little over 1,500. And mind you, the precinct that I'm working at is actually a very large culmination of many precincts. So it's kind of low, but as I look, there's a lot of people that are going in here to vote. A lot of young voters, too, first-time voters. And I'm very proud to be able to play a part in that process.
Well, that's fantastic. You, of course, were at the Ohio Christian Alliance Freedom Banquet, where we had both a candidate forum at 6 p.m. and then our dinner program with Bill Fetter at 7 p.m. You filled a table with some young folks from Medina and some of the high schools there. It was great to meet them, and they seemed to have a great time and, of course, participate and listen to the candidate forum between basically the three Senate challengers, which, of course, are facing off today. Frank LaRose came in on way of video, so did Matt Dolan. But Bernie Moreno was, there in person, and then we had the 13th Congressional District, where you had Kevin Coughlin and Chris Bandwick. But it basically addressed the issues and all. What did the folks say to you after the banquet? They seemed to enjoy themselves, but what were some of their thoughts about the candidate forum?
They really enjoyed it. They also like to get a new taste of closer to what the grassroots movement is. There's two parts of the political spectrum, pretty much, you could say, and it's the Republican movement and the conservative movement. And it was nice for them to see the conservative movement. I think they enjoyed the events of the grassroots movement a lot better than the Republican movement. they thoroughly enjoyed listening to the candidates, and they were able to make their own opinions on it. Now, only some of us could vote on these individuals, myself included, but they were more informed of the voters or what they had in mind. And they had a couple critiques of them, and they were able to point them out as well.
Well, that's so important to be able to discern that at a young age to participate. That's where it all starts. It makes or breaks, quite honestly, is with the next generation participating. And so I'm so glad that you're doing this. In fact, I remember the political science teacher I had in high school, and I was quite interested in what he was talking about. And he did a great job of getting the students to participate and answer questions. And, you know, it's funny, years later, it finds out, you know, I'm more conservative, probably vote Republican. I think he was a Democrat, more of a blue dog Democrat. And he became Democrat of the city of Stowe, which where I went to school. But we were friends. We saw each other at the state house and all. And I told him how I appreciated his political science class. By the way, you couldn't tell his politics when he was teaching that class, by the way, unlike what we find in the classroom today with a very partisan leftist radical view from some of these teachers. Not all, but some. What we hear about, of course, we hear about the worst cases. There are some great teachers out there that are teaching the Constitution and the political process for students to be involved. What's your experience with maybe political science at your high school years? What's been your experience, Aiden?
Yeah, last year when I was a junior, I took advanced placement political science, political science, and it was actually a very enjoyable class. They thoroughly taught us the Constitution. I learned a thing or two. And the teacher was a Democrat, but you really couldn't tell that in the way that they taught. But to contrast that with how other teachers will teach a more general civics class that's required by the state, a lot more liberal-leaning with their ideologies, the way that they portray the message. I remember that one of the requirements for a class was that you had to write a speech in favor of socialism as if you were a factory worker, with no actual you couldn't create an opposition to it, you know? And
that's crazy.
Exactly. And it's a lot more subtle these days, you know, pushing of a narrative. It's a lot more subtle and subtly integrated into our school system. You could never really point out exactly what it is until you actually sit down and hear it in its entirety. And so there are, like you said, gems of teachers who are wonderful at their jobs, and there are ones who are the bad apples.
Well, you know, I would have to tell you, I would object. And if I had a student there, I'd say, excuse me, Mr. Smith, I object. I don't have a problem writing this paper, but I also want to give the counter view. You know, and quite honestly, the administration would have to agree with that because you just can't get there in a one-sided view of someone. Oh, you're going to do this, and this is all you're going to do. That's not teaching. That's called dogma. That's called indoctrination. So that's interesting, Aiden. Thanks for sharing that. But unfortunately, that's where, you know, parents and students, that's where they find themselves these days. You know, that's why a lot of people have chosen to homeschool, private school, and classical education. I just had a gentleman on with me a couple weeks ago about the new classical education high school. It's actually starting with elementary school first. They're going to add a high school later. But, you know, not everybody can take that choice. They have to go to the high school where they live. And, you know, this is some of the things that they're faced with. But share with us how young people can still find a way forward to express or live their conservative views, even in the classroom, and engage with those teachers. Give us, kind of walk us through that a little bit. How did you, for instance, deal with that assignment that was very one-sided and biased? How did you handle that?
Yeah, as we have learned over the last 4 years of being in high school, me and my fellow associates, we've learned that there's strength through adversity. We had realized, also as Nixon would put it, there's a lot of silent majority in our schools. You know, a lot of the more vocal people are those liberals, but there's a lot less of them, but they seem to be a lot more because they're a lot more vocal, opposed to the fact that a lot of our conservative students and Republican students are a little bit more quiet on their beliefs. They keep it to themselves. The best way that I believe that you can best retaliate against this is to be informed. You know, our school, the Medina City School District, is very notorious for shutting down free speech. But when you know what you're talking about, it's a little bit more difficult for them to do that against you.
But it's oftentimes it really takes that determination to be able to take that next step to say, excuse me, teacher, I respectfully disagree with you. Excuse me, classmate, I respectfully disagree with you. A lot of people think that disagreement is confrontation in today's day of age. And unfortunately, that has become the reality. But whenever I disagree with you, that doesn't mean that I'm trying to pick fights with you. It means that I have a different understanding of a topic. And people cannot discern that, especially the modern left. They cannot discern the difference between disagreement and, you know, trying to fight someone. So I think being able to respectfully disagree, understand that when other people are trying to respectfully disagree, they're just trying to show their different perspective. And then also going on to just be informed as much as possible on both your side and the others. It is very difficult to fight against someone who is very informed of their knowledge. And so that is the biggest part of overturning these big obstacles that a lot of students face today.
Well, that's right. There was Dr. John Green from the Bliss Institute there at University of Akron. He wrote a book a few years back called Civility. And in fact, it's almost like the loss of civility, right, of what has happened in recent times in politics and in our culture. We can see that because, quite honestly, what we've always had in America, there's always been a disagreement, right, even from our founding. But it was civil to be able to do a discourse as to, in fact, our country was built on a disagreement. But it was a civil way in which we would engage. And, you know, I also tell people in public policy, they say, well, Chris, how have you been successful with some of the public policy successes that you've had over the years? I said, well, listen, you have a good idea. What you need to do is to convince your fellow countrymen that it is also a good idea to get behind it and legislators to adopt it. And when you get enough of them, you can get it over the finish line and it becomes legislation. But it takes a lot of persuasion and that civil argument to defend your position and win over others onto your position. That's why we were able to get the founding of American documents curriculum. We had to point out that it was a woeful outcome of what was happening in public schools in Ohio as far as basically young people were graduating not having any knowledge of civics and what you're talking about, political science or the Constitution. And so that's when we drafted the legislation was the Founding American Documents curriculum, which is the strengthening American government, American history with one full credit hour in the 8th to the 12th grade with an end of course exam. And that's what we were able to accomplish. And we got that done in 2011, but it took me 10 years to get that through the legislature. Okay. And now it's been in place for 10 years. It's probably your advanced class that you took was part of that education, Aiden. So you're welcome. That was part of the Founding American Documents curriculum that we were able to get across the finish line. In fact, I'm looking in my office. I'm seeing John Kasich sign the legislation with former Peter Schramm of the Ashbrook Center and former State Senator Larry Obaugh. He was actually a freshman at the time before he became Senate President. And John Adams, you got to love that. That was our sponsor in the House, okay, was John Adams, like the famed founder, of course. But all of that said, that's how we are to reason. And I love what you're doing, Aiden, because you're raising up young people, training them to have that kind of civic and civil discussion engagement. Explain that.
Yeah, a big part of knowing, a big part of being a citizen in the United States is knowing your rights. If you do not know your rights, somebody else can easily trample on them and you'd be none the wiser. A right is only as strong as the knowledge you hold of it. And it's because of that we realize that we have to educate our youth. We've been working on growing across the United States. 4 years ago, my school told me that I was not good enough and that our group was not a good enough fit for Medina High School and its students. And 4 years later now, we have a national headquarters. We have chapters across the United States and representatives of our organization across the United States, as west as California, as south as Florida, and as north as, I believe, the Washington area. And so we realize that we have to advocate for and advance the policies of the conservative youth movement. But along with that comes strengthening the rights of our students. There is something called the Equal Access Act of 1984. The big concept behind it is that students should have the right to meet without regards to religious, political, or philosophical content of speech. And it says their right to have equal access shall not be infringed. The issue with this is equal access is so ambiguous that people do not know what equal access is. Equal access to what? And so we have been working on a legislative initiative in order to strengthen what it means to have equal access, to not per se overturn the Equal Access Act, but to strengthen it and to fortify it so that the ambiguity cannot be taken against the students. But we've been growing through that initiative as well. We've been growing on having young students starting to work for political campaigns to learn both the civics and the political side of our duty to our country. And we've been growing in these fields because these youth, they're hungry for answers. They're hungry for, why is my legislator not listening to me? Why is my legislator not taking care of me? Why is my county going to Hades in a handbasket? Well, there's a simple solution right there. It's by taking part into politics. And so these students, they're not finite. There's a good amount of these students. These students and these young adults want to have answers, and they want to hold themselves accountable to it. And so they realize that they must be the one to bear that torch. They have to be the one to take that next step forward and able to help our country become a better place. And it's for that that we realize that we need to be able to work together with other conservative groups to branch them together, to create a network, to encourage the creation of these conservative groups, and to encourage the empowerment of conservative youth. They may feel like that there's not a lot of them out there, because that, once again, partakes with the silent majority. But when you realize you're in the majority, you could be a little bit more vocal. You could be a little bit more persuasive to your other individuals, and you could tell them to start speaking out on these issues. When you see something, you call a ball, and a strike. And when you can do that with great confidence that people are not going to ridicule you, because the people that are listening to you could possibly agree with you, that strengthens both sides of the arguments. And so by creating and fostering a development of arguments for the conservative movement, by creating and fostering the next generation of conservative leaders and leadership, we are able to make a true change on the United States political field.
We're talking with Aidan Haggard. He is the president of American Conservative Youth Union. As you just heard, they're a national organization that's growing, started right out of Medina, Ohio. They have their national office right on the square in Medina. And let me give you the website. That's www.theacyu.com. Again, that's www.theacyu.com. Aidan, you're a senior in high school now?
That is correct.
So you're a senior. The American Conservative Youth Union is moving along. I love what you just shared. You know, it's funny. It was Sam Adams who said it does not require a majority to prevail, but an irate, tireless minority intent in setting brush fires in people's minds. He was talking about basically that effective argument that we can win over our fellow countrymen. The scripture says in Leviticus 26 and verse 7, the promise from the Lord, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall. Well, it's basically saying in verse 8, and five of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. So it doesn't require a majority to basically get this done, but an effective minority. And that's what you're doing in raising up these young conservative leaders. So it's really a mentoring program of what you're doing here. And so I love, you know, the young people that we saw that you brought to the Freedom Banquet. And I think we were also over there when Dennis Prager spoke at the Lincoln Day at the Medina County Lincoln Day dinner, which was an interesting speech, by the way. I really enjoyed some of the things he shared that night. My wife and I enjoyed that. Tell us a little bit about that. How did the folks respond to some of the youth respond to the Dennis Prager speech?
Yeah, a lot of the people that were there were a lot of younger adults as well, and sometimes their parents. There was a member of a school board in the Cleveland area. He's in his early 20s, and he was elected to the school board. He thoroughly enjoyed the speech. One of my associates, who will soon be replacing me, hopefully, James Lawrence, thoroughly enjoyed the speech as well. He really resonated with him. Me personally, I don't think I resonated with it as well as I did with the William Federer speech. I don't think it was as close to me on the topic. I thoroughly enjoyed the speech. And I enjoyed the content, but I kind of guess it goes back to say that I really enjoy the grassroots movement more than the Republican movement. But he had a lot of good points, especially when talking about Donald Trump. I really like the way that he put it. Would you rather have a doctor who is knowledgeable of his trade, to treat you of a disease, who may not be the greatest person, or would you rather have a really nice person who's not as well at the job to uphold him? And so I really like the way that he was able to apply a lot of very difficult to grasp concepts in a very easy to understand manner. And we thoroughly enjoyed it. We thoroughly enjoyed the other events. It was the first time that I saw a gun auction at a event. It was a wonderful event. And we were very glad to be able to sit there with other officials of our county. It's always great to see people who can be our political mentors, who we can look up to for advice, and one of these days possibly even replace their office with them after they're willing to resign or have us run in their footsteps. So it's always a wonderful example to these students, because some students may not like a whole bunch of the aspects of politics, but they might like finances, and because of that, they might want to run for county commissioner, or they might like tax records or surveying and plumbing, and so they might want to run for county recorder or county auditor. And it's because of this that people can find that politics is not just White House and the Capitol building; it's also your local politics, the people that are your friends and neighbors who are willing to show you mentorship. I've personally been mentored by the Medina County Auditor, Anthony P. Capretta. He has shown me wonderful information. He has shown me a lot about politics. And then I've also been mentored by other individuals more in the grassroots movement. So there, both myself and many other members of the Young Conservative Movement are able to go to these events, and they're able to see, you know, what their future could be. You know, this could be the future of my life. This could be the way that I can make a change in this world. So they really enjoyed it. We always enjoyed Dennis Prager as a political commentator, and we were very glad that we were able to host him.
So, Aiden, you're going to continue, obviously, in your position as president of the American Conservative Youth Union. You talked about your successor. So you're going to be going to college. What will be your status then as the leader of the organization, as, let's say, next year?
I will be still remaining, assuming I'm able to fulfill the duties, the president and national Freedman Warden of the national organization. The high school organization will be handed over to underclassmen right now, who are currently in training, per se. After that, I will assess if they are able to, and I think they will be able to take over the national organization. It's a child of mine, and I care of it thoroughly, but I know that other people can take care of it maybe better than I can during college. So we will be laying those tracks to have the next foundation of our organization. We understand that as any organization or party or anything will have it, you know, we have struggles with who will be the next leader, whether it is through graduation, somebody moving, or death. You know, we have to plan for our next leaders. And because of that, we have a continuity plan, and we're working on that. I'll be thankfully going to the University of Ashland, and you mentioned at the Ashbrook Center, to study political science and accountancy in order to understand both the Constitution and budgeting well, so that when I go into the public eye, I'll be able to be close to those concepts we hold dear. And because of that, I'll be able to be close to home, close to the management of the organization, and we'll be able to continue our work that we've done.
Well, that's great, Aiden. And, you know, so, and congratulations on going to the Ashbrook Center at Ashland University, the political science department. My daughter is a graduate of the Ashbrook program, and my son-in-law as well. They're working in state government currently. The Ashbrook Center, of course, Peter Schramm, going back to Peter Schramm, bless his memory. He's on my wall here in my office because he's there for the bill signing of the Founding American Documents curriculum, as he came in and testified in support of it. Great program. I look forward to seeing you down there with Mr. Sakinga. And, in fact, I want to be able to tour the new facility. I've not been able to do that yet. I'm trying to arrange a time for my son-in-law and I to meet there in Ashland. He's in Columbus. I'm up in Northeast Ohio. We'll meet in Ashland and get the proper tour by Dr. Jeff Sakinga. But you know what? I look forward to seeing you down there at the Ashbrook Center. Aiden, I just think that's fantastic. And I think that we're going to be talking in the future about the American Conservative Youth Union and your successor. In fact, I'd like to have you both on the program later this spring, of who your successor is going to be, kind of taking the reins and going forward. And I'll have both of you on the program and talking about the continued work, because it's something that the Ohio Christian Alliance would like to partner with you on, with young people around the state of Ohio. So God bless you, my friend. Appreciate all that you're doing.
Thank you very much. And for those who are interested in finding more information, You can dial us at 330-907-0051. Once again, that's 330-907-0051. Or you could write to our Ashland office at 19 West Main Street, Unit 4, Ashland, Ohio, 44805. Or to our Medina office at 5 Public Square, Unit 1, Medina, Ohio, 44256. I want to say thank you so much for having me today, and I appreciate the opportunity to spread the information on the conservative youth movement.
Absolutely, Aiden. God bless you, my friend, and thank you for all you're doing, and the Lord bless you in all of your endeavors.
God bless you as well. Thank you once again.
Thank you. Well, if you've listened to today's program, I want to give you an opportunity. We're going to give away one of our books, For Their Honor, the book For Their Honor that I wrote that you've heard about here on the program. If you're the third caller at 330-887-1922, we'll ship you out an autographed copy of For Their Honor. And so also you can get that book on our website and also at Barnes & Noble and Amazon as well. And we are scheduling speaking engagements to talk about the D-Day prayer, how it was added to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., and we'll also be doing book signings there as well. Well, thank you so much for listening today. If you've missed any of today's program, you can hear it in its entirety at our website at ohioca.org. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is brought to you by the Ohio Christian Alliance.